Welcome to the June 27th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. The past 24 hours have been pretty wild for the Bitcoin market. So, yesterday afternoon around 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Bitcoin hit a new 2019 high of $13,880, and just to recap, 1 week ago, Bitcoin was only trading at $9,200, so we're talking Bitcoin was up like almost $5,000 within a week. This pace of rallying can only be compared to the 2017 bull run, so if you look at the long-term chart, this rally we've just been going through is only comparable to that major price rise in late 2017 that brought Bitcoin to its all-time high of $20,000. But then Bitcoin began to go down, so it actually went down like literally $1,800 in about 20 minutes. So Bitcoin dropped from just over $13,700 to as low as $11,850 all in 20 minutes. It's like, that's about as fast as Bitcoin could crash too. So Bitcoin was going up about as fast as it can go, and then it went down as fast as it could go. So that was pretty wild. And there was no news story that was coinciding with this crash. So it seems like market manipulation. And indeed, the CME Bitcoin futures expiration is coming up in about 24 hours or so. So it's tomorrow around 11 a.m. Eastern time. And it seems like CME Bitcoin futures traders collectively started the month with a short trade because Bitcoin declined from $8,400 to $7,500 at the beginning of June. And then Bitcoin reversed that trend around June 9th. Bitcoin began to lift off. So it lifted off from $7,500 all the way up to $13,880. But that didn't change the fact that there was a lot of Bitcoin futures traders on CME that were going short. In fact, the CFTC publishes data on who's short and who's long on CME for each particular commodity. And for Bitcoin, there was 14% more traders going short than long, despite what's going on this month with like the biggest rally we've seen since 2017. And here's how CME Bitcoin futures contracts work. They settle and expire pretty much. So like the termination of trading is tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So CME Bitcoin futures traders who have lost big this month on short positions, they haven't lost anything until the expiration comes. At that moment, that's when they're going to have to pay the piper and like pay for however much they lost on their short position. So obviously anyone who shorted this month of June, even where we are now, and I'll get into the rest of the market analysis in a minute, but yeah, if they shorted June and it was at like $14,000, they would have been absolutely wrecked. They would have lost like tremendous amounts of money. So I'm speculating, but I cannot confirm this, obviously, that maybe CME Bitcoin futures traders coordinated to like push the market down in order to lessen their losses on their short positions for the month of June. So now back to the rest of the market analysis. As we head closer to that CME Bitcoin futures expiration, Bitcoin is continuing to decline. So after Bitcoin went down to $11,850 during the flash crash, it managed to rise all the way up to $13,300. But then after that, it's been consistently going down. So Bitcoin declined from $13,300 at about 8 p.m. Eastern time yesterday evening, which was a recovery from that flash crash. And it went all the way down to $11,200 around 5:30 a.m. Eastern time this morning. And as I speak right now, around 7 a.m. Eastern time, Bitcoin has risen again to $11,800. And it seems like maybe some of these market movements have to do with the Chinese trade war. So overnight, there was some news that China and the United States were about ready to agree to a trade deal. And I don't know how many times I've seen this already. It seems like there's news put out almost every day that the trade war is about to end and a deal's about to be reached. And that causes the stock market to rally. And then it ends up the news is fake. The same thing has happened today. So the real news, and they like misinterpreted the news probably on purpose to make the markets go up. So the stock futures went up a lot when they said a deal is about to be reached. But then it came out that China actually made a list of demands that all the tariffs that President Trump put in place should be dropped. And these tariffs are very lucrative for the United States, so it seems unlikely that will happen. And then also, like, the United States would have to agree to selling their technology to Huawei Technologies, which has been accused of, like, spying and, like, stealing technology from, like, the United States military, basically. So it seems like these terms that China is putting out to end the trade war are, like, unreasonable. So now the stock futures have plummeted into the red instead of being way into the green. And Bitcoin started to lift off around when the real news came out. And it went from 11,200 to 11,800 now. And a lot of this Bitcoin rally does have to do with the Chinese trade war. So the Chinese trade war is basically the United States was very angry at China for stealing military technology and stuff that should not be stolen. And also due to the tremendous trade deficit, basically, like, China was getting a lot more money out of the trade than the United States was between the countries. So the United States put, like, hundreds of billions of dollars of tariffs on China, and China responded with, like, at least tens of billions of dollars of tariffs. And then also China does not want the U.S. dollar to be, like, the supreme world currency anymore. So China has tightened its capital controls. It was already pretty bad. It was, like, $50,000 per year limit for Chinese citizens if they want to exchange their Chinese yuan for foreign currency. And then people in China are reporting that even those limits aren't being respected. Like, they'll go to the bank and try to get some U.S. dollars, and they can't even get it even if they're within their yearly limit. So that's sparking fears that there's a lack of U.S. dollar liquidity in China, as well as fears that the capital controls have gotten so tight that no one could get their money out of China. So the response is people are laundering their money out of China so they could use it anywhere in the world for anything. And a lot of this comes through Hong Kong. So the amount of imports from Hong Kong to China has drastically increased, indicating money laundering through Hong Kong. And Hong Kong happens to have, like, a lot of Bitcoin. And besides that, there's probably plenty of ways people in China could buy Bitcoin, even though it is illegal to exchange fiat for Bitcoin in China. And the reason Chinese citizens would want Bitcoin is because they could send it anywhere in the world instantly and convert it to any fiat currency they want. So yeah, as money is pouring out of China offshore, a lot of it's going into Bitcoin, or at least a good amount of it. And that might be a major fundamental reason for the rally we've seen so far, and that's not been taken away. Maybe when that news came out that a deal is about to be reached, maybe that, like, made the fears lessen for a few hours or something, but then the fears came right back because it ends up a deal's not really being reached. And that's just happened once again, like I just said, it's happening over and over, that the news will put out a fake story that a deal's about to be reached for the trade war, and then that's not true at all. So the truth is, at this point, the trade war is not ending, and I really do think it's a medium to long-term issue, because the United States, besides being angry at China for stealing military technology and the trade deficit, the United States is finding the tariffs extremely profitable, and they probably just want to keep that. And since the stock market's looking a little more bearish today because of the trade deal not happening, that's going to help Bitcoin a little too. And that's another fundamental factor, is that the stock market's at, like, its all-time resistance level right now, near 27,000 points on the Dow Jones. And there's lots of indicators suggesting it's going to go down. Like, people are rushing into long-term bonds so much the bond yield curve has inverted. And there's tremendous global debt right now. And manufacturing and trading data is going down. So the fundamentals that are driving the Bitcoin rally have not disappeared. And once again, the movements downwards we've seen since about 3 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday, it seems like market manipulation associated with CME. And it's going to probably be a crazy next 24 hours or so until we get past that CME expiration. And then it's going to be interesting to see which side of the coin the CME traders choose, because they could choose to go short again, and or they could choose to go long and let the market go up. I think in the absence of CME margin trading, and margin trading in general, this market would be way above its level right now. And that's the story of the 2018 bear market anyways. So the CME Bitcoin futures launched on December 17th, 2017. That's an infamous day because that's when Bitcoin hit its $20,000 all-time high. And it started to collapse in price because CME Bitcoin futures launched and introduced massive short selling pressure. And we cannot forget history, or we will get burned, because basically CME still has pretty big influence on this Bitcoin market. It's undeniable. They can even stop a big rally like we just saw. And I'm just speculating still. How could I confirm this? There's no way to confirm it, but the timing is too ridiculous, with like less than 48 hours till the expiration. That's when Bitcoin's price starts to go down a lot, because a lot of CME traders are going short. I suppose the best case scenario would be that CME traders go long in the month of July and actually just, like, go on the side of the fundamentals, because the fundamentals of Chinese capital outflows and the stock market looking kind of weak, and also a possible war with Iran. So that's the third major fundamental. But Iran and the United States haven't really done anything in the past week. It was getting really hot about a week ago. But since then, nothing's blown up. But that's a wild card. So if, like, the war with Iran suddenly starts, and the United States says, like, if one more thing blows up near Iran in the Strait of Hormuz, a war is going to happen. The United States will obliterate Iran. So that's the wild card for the market. If that happens, Bitcoin's going to rally a lot. So we got that wild card fundamental factor, and also people just speculating on that, so they're buying Bitcoin because of that, Chinese capital outflows, and the stock market looking weak. So those fundamentals haven't disappeared, and the best case scenario is if CME just sides with the fundamentals and then lets the rally happen for the month of July, and then Bitcoin would actually have a shot at going to the all-time high if that happens. And of course, who knows though, they could also just go short and we could have like this craziness where Bitcoin's trying to go up because of all the fundamentals, but still the merchant traders on CME and other merchant trading platforms are trying to make Bitcoin go down to protect their shorts. So we'll just have to see what happens and watch it day to day. Moving on to the rest of the market analysis. So the Bitcoin dominance percentage is still way up. It's like at 62.6% right now. I believe it was as high as just a little over 63% yesterday. So even though Bitcoin is down about like $2,000 from its peak about yesterday, that hasn't caused the Bitcoin dominance percentage to decline much. So the story of this rally has been Bitcoin's rallying a ton and the other altcoins are losing relative to Bitcoin. And even when Bitcoin's going down, the altcoins are losing even more right now. It seems like based on the coin market cap listings of the percentage changes that I'm about to go through. Plenty of people speculate that when the Bitcoin rally breaks, and it kind of like stopped yesterday around 3 p.m., so that I would call that a break in the rally, at least for now, that would cause the altcoins to start rising, but that's not really the case right now. I guess it was just too bearish and the altcoins declined even more. So here's the market analysis. Ethereum's down 7.6% at $311. And just for reference, Bitcoin's down 5.2%. So Ethereum's down more than Bitcoin. And Ripple is down 10.5% near 43 cents. Bitcoin Cash is down 13.1% near $435. Litecoin down 12.6% near $119, despite the block halving happening in about a month. So that Litecoin block halving speculation is not really helping Litecoin right now. It's down big at $119. EOS is down 13.2% near $6.37. Binance Coin down 10.4% near $33.50. Bitcoin SV is down 15.5% near $205. And that brings us into the first story of the day. So Craig Wright, which is the founder of Bitcoin SV, is appearing in a federal courtroom tomorrow in the United States in Florida. And he's going to be put on the stand to be cross-examined for this case between him and Dave Kleinman. So basically the case is that Craig Wright and Dave Kleinman in the very earliest days of Bitcoin, like the very beginning, mined 1.1 million Bitcoins together. Then Dave Kleinman died and Craig Wright did not give any of the Bitcoin to Dave Kleinman's heirs. So now the heirs, like the children of Dave Kleinman, are suing Craig Wright. And so far, Craig Wright has been very difficult with the federal judge. Like the federal judge ordered Craig Wright to list all his Bitcoin that he has. And Craig Wright said he can't do it because he doesn't have all the keys or something. He doesn't even know where the Bitcoins are. And that seems kind of like hard to believe, huh? So the judge said, hey, I'm about to give you the criminal contempt of court. And like now you have to come to court. And so Craig Wright's coming to court tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. That's when the court session starts. And yeah, he's going to be right here in the United States put on the stand. Some people are speculating he could get criminal contempt of court because he did not follow through with the orders of the federal judge. But we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, he has his really powerful lawyer there. He's bringing some witnesses with him too. And that has something to do with Bitcoin SV because he is the founder of Bitcoin SV. So Bitcoin SV seems to be going down more than anything because its founder is appearing in federal court tomorrow. Moving on with the rest of the market analysis. Cardano is down 8.4%, Tron is down 10.2%, Stellar is down 12.5%, Bitfinex's Leo token is down 6.5%, Monero is down 11.4% near $93, Dash is down 7.5% near $165, Neo is down 11%, IOTA is down 11.5%, Cosmos is down 13.8%, Ethereum Classic is down 13.2%, Zcash is down 3.1%, and Dogecoin is down 5%. So all of the major cryptocurrencies are down big. It's almost like we time traveled back into the bear market with the way the cryptocurrency board looks right now. But we can't forget that all the cryptos went up a lot in the past month or two or three. So, you know, this ain't the bear market lows right here. Things are a lot higher than they were. But yes, the past day since 3 p.m. Eastern time yesterday specifically has been pretty bad for the crypto market. And the total crypto market cap has actually declined from its new 2019 high of $387 billion all the way down to $339 billion. So that's a loss of $48 billion from the total crypto market cap within less than 24 hours. It was even worse earlier. So when Bitcoin went down to $11,200, the total crypto market cap dropped to $328 billion. So that's a drop of about $60 billion in less than 24 hours. But it's recovered a bit already. Precisely, it's up $10 billion since it hit its lows around 5:30 a.m. Eastern time. And by the way, just to wrap up the market analysis, Bitcoin has been moving like crazy. And even during this short market analysis, Bitcoin has managed to rise to $11,900. There is plenty of volatility today. And I think this volatility will continue through the CME Bitcoin futures expiration. And then the time after the CME Bitcoin futures expiration is particularly important to watch to see how the Bitcoin market's going to respond. Once again, best case scenario is the CME Bitcoin futures traders side with the fundamentals and they go long and just let the market rip upwards. Or they could go against it. They could go short, just like they did in June. And then it's kind of like a confusing market because the fundamentals really want to push Bitcoin up, but they're trying to go short. So it could go either way. So we're just going to have to watch how this expiration goes. And this 24 hours or so before the expiration is very important to watch to see if Bitcoin's going to be pushed down even more. Now for one of the craziest stories of the day. So we talked about how a hacker hacked the city of Riviera Beach, Florida, and the city paid the hacker $600,000 in addition to replacing their whole computer system for like $1 million, because basically this hacker hacked the city so bad, like none of their emergency services were working and they lost like all their data. So Riviera Beach paid the hacker $600,000 in Bitcoin, and this is like the biggest ransomware attack I've seen, but it's happened again. Now Lake City, Florida has been hacked, and Lake City, which is a small city near the northern part of Florida, has paid hackers $500,000 of Bitcoin to get all their data back and to get their city computers back, basically. So we got a serial ransomware hacker here, and I think they're playing with fire. Like, this ransomware hacker's hacking the city so bad and mercilessly that the 911 systems go down. Like, it went down in Riviera Beach and Lake City. So when this hacker struck, the 911 didn't even work. So that puts people in danger. And so they've hacked two cities in a row in the same state, Florida. And I'm wondering how much longer they can go on doing this before the federal government lands like a Black Hawk helicopter on their roof. So we'll see how that goes. And apparently one interesting part of the story is that Baltimore was hacked in the past in a similar way. And the hacker only, quote unquote, only asked for $76,000. And the mayor of Baltimore refused. And then it cost the taxpayers $18 million ultimately because the hacker didn't give anything back and probably made the city systems even worse. And so, yeah, it seems like actually paying the ransomware hackers for these city scale hacks like is more cost effective than not paying them. So Baltimore tried not to pay them and it ended up costing $18 million. These two Florida cities both paid out about $500,000 each instead of like losing tens of millions of dollars for the whole city computer systems being destroyed. Zooming out, I've seen this each time Bitcoin goes up a lot in price, like back in late 2017, for example, the hackers start getting a lot more aggressive and crazy because once Bitcoin goes up more in value, that's when they really start to target Bitcoin. And indeed, there's another hacking story today. A cryptocurrency exchange based in Singapore called BitRu, or like BuyTru or BitTru or something like that, it lost $4.3 million in a hack, so they specifically lost 9.3 million XRP worth $4 million, and then 2.5 million Cardano worth about $250,000, added up to about $4.3 million. So yeah, this is another case of when the bull run's happening and crypto's worth a lot more, the hackers strike. And then there's this interesting chart that I found that shows the biggest cryptocurrency exchange hacks in history. So apparently the CoinCheck hack in January 2018, right around the top of the last bull run, was almost for $500 million. And then Mt. Gox is the number two crypto exchange hack in history. It was for about $350 million, and that happened near the bull run before the 2017 one. So there was a major bull run near the end of 2013, and Mt. Gox lost $350 million. Seeing a trend here, each time there's a major bull run, there's a big hack. And by the way, not to mention that Binance just lost like a bunch of money recently. So Binance recovered from that because they had an insurance fund, but literally Binance itself was hacked only like a few weeks ago. And that was due to crypto prices probably going up a lot, and hackers have a lot more incentive to hack exchanges at that point. And then Bitrail, which I believe is an Italian exchange, was hacked in February 2018 near the top of the previous bull run, and that was just below $200 million. And then we have the Bitfinex hack in 2016 of about $50 million. That was like during a bear market. And I'm not going to go through all the rest of these. Oh yeah, I found that Binance hack on the chart, and that was May 2019, so about a month ago, and it was about somewhere around $50 million. But yeah, apparently in total, $1.36 billion have been stolen from cryptocurrency exchanges so far in history. And apparently the hackers are making a very lucrative business out of this. And once again, when we see these bull runs happen, that's when the hackers really get crazy and they have a lot of incentive to like go into overdrive and hack as much as they can. So be very careful. Like, the moral of this story is don't use any exchanges that aren't really trustworthy. Like, Binance is pretty trustworthy, actually. And so they were hacked, and they had an insurance fund and everything, and no one lost any money. No users, at least. But other crypto exchanges don't have insurance funds, usually. Like, that's a rare thing. Binance is one of the top ones. They do have an insurance fund that they collect from their trading fees. Other crypto exchanges just don't have that. So you got to be very careful trading on crypto exchanges. Only use the most reputable ones. Don't use a shady one or anything like that. And also keep your crypto secured in your wallet and make sure you and only yourself has the private key, because the hackers are swarming right now. Moving on to the next story, but just a brief market snippet. Bitcoin is now back above $12,000, but this is happening multiple times overnight and yesterday. So yeah, Bitcoin's managed to go above 12,000. So it seems like the news that the Chinese trade war is not ending is increasing that buying pressure coming from China, helping Bitcoin actually rise to about 12,100 now. So that's good news, but we still have to be a little wary until that CME Bitcoin future expiration passes tomorrow morning. So yeah, moving on to the next story. One of the top cryptocurrency exchanges in India, CoinEx, is closing down, and other major crypto exchanges in India have already closed down in the previous year. This happened once the Reserve Bank of India, which is like the central bank of India, like banned banks from having any association with crypto exchanges. So crypto exchanges in India like literally don't have banks. I don't even know how CoinEx was operating this long. But CoinEx has shut down because they don't have proper banking infrastructure. And also there's severe regulatory uncertainty in India. So there was a previous story that I talked about on the show maybe in the past couple of weeks at some point, where basically Indian legislators are trying to completely make Bitcoin illegal and make it like as if it's like heroin or something. So the law that was proposed but obviously isn't in effect yet is that if this law passes, Bitcoins will cause you to go to prison for like 10 years, and that's like worse than possessing heroin. So they're going to make Bitcoin possession worse than like heroin possession. So yeah, India might actually completely ban Bitcoin, but it hasn't happened yet. And this CoinEx cryptocurrency exchange has fled India now. So India is pretty much without major crypto exchanges. And CoinEx, even before they just left, like their volume was declining sharply because they couldn't really handle anything because they didn't have banks. So now they're just like, okay, we're closing down. This is too difficult and it's getting dangerous. What if this law passes? That's going to make people go to prison just for holding Bitcoin. And that would be the most severe Bitcoin law in the world, pretty much. I think even in countries where it's illegal, like Pakistan and stuff, which is actually right next to India, like, I don't think people go to prison for just possessing Bitcoin. They might get, like, a severe fine or maybe a little jail time or something. But, like, literally India would send people to prison for 10 years as if they killed someone just for having Bitcoin, if that law passes. So what's India doing now? Well, it seems like they're driving Bitcoin underground. So the top crypto exchanges where the government was able to regulate them and tax them and see what's happening, they're not really there anymore. So now it's become Bitcoin dealing, like local Bitcoin sort of stuff in India. Peer-to-peer Bitcoin dealing, and it's, even if it's made illegal, that's just like strengthening this network that will become a black market Bitcoin network. So right now Bitcoin is not illegal, so it's not technically a black market yet. But the way India is banning Bitcoin is crazy, because first they took away the crypto exchanges, And so that created this network of people that are Bitcoin dealing to each other all over India. And then if they try to make it totally illegal, they're just going to have a tremendous black market on their hands. And the people that will comprise the black market have been strengthening themselves and building up their businesses, and they're ready for that. So India can't really ban Bitcoin. And the way they're trying to ban Bitcoin is crazy, because they're just going to create like a huge Bitcoin black market, probably going to be the biggest Bitcoin black market in the world if Bitcoin becomes illegal in India. So, yeah, it reminds me of Prohibition in the United States. I think that was in like the 1920s, where the United States tried to ban alcohol, but there was already a lot of people that made alcohol and transported alcohol, and they all just became black market bootleggers. And then because alcohol was illegal, people wanted to drink alcohol even more. It seems like India is doing the same thing with Bitcoin. So people might want Bitcoin even more in India once it's illegal, because it's more mysterious. And yeah, so we'll see what happens in India. So that's all I have for you today on this June 27th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode, and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7. For the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They made over 400% profits in July. Doesn't matter if the market's going up or down. They know how to make money either way, on shorts or longs. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time. And there's a full trade analysis of each trade. Just by reading their trade analysis, you will become an expert cryptocurrency trader. And it gets even better. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.